You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, this is Joe. Today we're talking about the second episode of the new season of Doctor Who, Flux, War of the Sontarans. Before the episode starts properly, I want to let you know that this was originally a Patreon bonus episode, and now we're releasing it publicly for the holidays. A second holiday special! Woo! If you'd like to hear more of these bonus episodes, you can find them at patreon.com/watchathon at the $3 a month or more level. We should have most, if not all, of the reviews for the rest of the Flux season up there, as well as reviews of the last season of New Who, and reviews of some of the first Doctor comic strips as well. So you can go check those out right now. Do it! It's only $3! What are you waiting for? What do you got to lose besides $3? We'll be back to the Seventh Doctor next time for Remembrance of the Daleks with special guest Nathan Laws. But until then, enjoy the episode and enjoy this ad.
We're the Con Guys, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California. We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
Well, I'm eating a graham cracker.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I wasn't ready.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Tony Heath.
Okay, cool. Tony and Joe, you are ordered to watch every Doctor Who serial and discuss them all. Today we're going to be talking about Flux Chapter 2, War of the Sontarans, the second episode of the 13th series of New Doctor Who, which aired, I don't know, Sunday, right? What day is that? I'm so bad at this.
Joe Facts!
November 7th, 2021.
Joe Facts!
Last time, it took me like 20 minutes just to say what the basic plot was, because it was 900 billion things.
Mm-hmm.
But this episode has a much simpler plot, and I can actually sum it up real quick.
Okay.
The Doctor teams up with Mary Seacole to fight the Sontarans in the past. Dan teams up with the Dog Boy to fight the Sontarans in the present, while Yaz and Vinder wind up in some sort of temple and are asked to repair a broken time device. Swarm and Azure show up and fix the device somewhat by installing Yaz and Vinder into it. The Doctor and Dan show up and are somewhat upset about this because it could kill them.
All right.
That's it, right? That's...
All right, good podcast.
We're done. We did it. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah.
No. That's the basic plot summary. So what are our thoughts on it? What do we think? I mean, of course, there's additional stuff that happened as well, but that's the gist.
I think so far this season has done a pretty good job with humor, so it's keeping me invested there. I would say it's paced better so far. I say that this episode was paced better.
Yeah, the last episode was all over the place.
The last episode had pilot syndrome so hard. It was setting up too much. But this one didn't have that problem, and so the pace seemed normal. And we weren't stopping to do character moments, and so that's good.
Right, which is something that happened a lot in the previous two series, is stopping the plot to have character moments. And that doesn't happen anymore, and at least so far in this. It's just plots happening nonstop, but it's fine because Chibnall's bad at the character moments, I feel like. Or at least integrating them into the plot. It's a lot like Elementary was.
Oh, yeah.
Where it couldn't put the two together. It just separated them in their own scenes every time.
What's really frustrating about Elementary is that it was actually very good at the character stuff. And was not good at the plot stuff.
I feel like this is the opposite.
Yeah.
Class was good at both, but still separated them.
That's true.
I do think there is, like,
it does move smoother and stuff, and you, like you're talking about, like, the first episode was setting up too many things. I think they feel like they set up Dan a little more than they did in the first episode, because there's, like, this feeling that he's, like, now more experienced with aliens.
Yeah.
And traveling with the doctor or whatever, because, like, he meets up with his parents, and they're like, what have you been up to? You seem different. It's like, he was in a cage for, like, 5 minutes. He didn't really do a whole lot last time.
I mean, supposedly he's been gone for 2 days.
But they do say he feels different. But really, he's only been gone for... He hasn't been gone for 2 days, from his point of view.
It's just what we've seen?
Yeah. He got captured by the dog. The doctor rescued him, and then they get hit with the flux.
I love the unearned confidence it gives him, too, where he's like, I've got experience with aliens now. And it's like, you've done nothing. You've been there. Sure.
He interacted with one alien who turned out to be good. And also, like his partner at the end of this episode, the dog. The dog shows up as a, like, deus ex machina, really, to save him from Sontarans.
Essentially, yeah, but you get the really good line out of it, so it's okay.
What was the line again?
I still got a human in this fight.
Dumb, I love it.
It's just the right amount of stupid.
And then also, he goes around, and his weapon of choice is a wok.
Also just the right amount of stupid.
I love it. He's just smacking the back of the Sontarans with the wok. His stuff is funny. And sometimes I don't know if it's on purpose or if it's just Chibnall writing basic-ass dialogue. But Dan is so dumb in an adorable way. And, like, sometimes it's like, it is clearly a joke. But sometimes I'm like, this is just him saying what's happening on screen with a question mark at the end?
I think my favorite one is the one where he's like, so she's a real person from history, and the Sontaran's not, right? And it's like, yeah, the potato alien's not a real person from history. I'm glad we're on the same page here. Dan, come on, Dan.
Speaking of that, I thought that was an interesting concept. It did kind of, like, surprise me when we find out, like, there's not a Russia. It's Sontar now. There was quite a few moments like that where I was like, oh, that's actually an interesting twist. Like that, there's the moment with the TARDIS. Because last episode, the TARDIS had too many doors. And then this episode, it don't have any.
Which is fantastic, because there's always the problem of, like, having to keep the Doctor from just leaving. Like, that is always a problem in Doctor Who. And I don't think anyone has ever just been like, doesn't have doors this time. Fantastic.
So she does get back in the TARDIS at the end. I guess a door popped up?
Yeah, I mean, that happens on screen. Like, the door fades kind of back into existence.
Okay. I think I missed that. There was a lot going on at that point. Because, like, there was sort of the merging of the past and the present plot lines. There's also a scene where Dan and the dog escape via a shit chute.
Yep.
I think that's around the time the TARDIS door thing was happening. And I was just like, they just escaped through a shit chute.
Shit chute.
Is that not what you'd call it?
That's not what I'd call it, no.
A waste disposal tube. It's a shit chute. But yeah, we've talked about Dan's plot line. What do you think about his parents?
I mean, all their scenes are pretty funny.
It's weird how, like, you always have to see the companion's family. And, like, I don't know. I didn't feel like I needed to see Dan's family.
You didn't care about Dan's family?
I mean, they were fine, but they kind of feel like a retread of, like, Wilf and Donna's mom. I'm blanking on her name. It doesn't help that this episode, like, his plotline kind of has a very, to me, felt like very much like Turn Left.
How so?
Just that, like, you know, aliens have taken over the planet sort of thing, and you're seeing it from their point of view. And, like, they come up and smash the Sontaran with the wok, which feels a lot like, didn't Wilf do a thing with a Dalek at one point?
Oh, yeah, with the paintball.
Yeah, it felt like reminiscent of that. How did you feel about the Mary Seacole plotline? Which, by the way, I am American and dumb. I am Dan in this situation.
Yeah, no, I am also Dan.
I have no idea who Mary Seacole was. I had to look it up for an article I wrote for The Dip, where I was, like, proposing what this season would be about. And I was like, who the fuck is Mary Seacole? Let me look it up.
Who is she?
She's like Florence Nightingale, but better. But, I mean, basically, like, Florence Nightingale's the famous one because she's white.
Oh, okay.
Basically. That's probably oversimplifying it a lot, but that's the gist. I liked her character.
Yeah.
Her and the doctor just get to do shit. It's fun.
Oh, the doctor does things.
Yeah.
The doctor is an active participant in the story, which is part of the benefit of splitting everybody up the way that they have.
Right.
Into all these different
plot lines.
Plot lines. Is that it forces them to use the doctor as a character. And
she's good.
She's great at it.
Yeah, I feel like she's really coming to her own. And I'm sad like she's going to be going soon now. Like, I'd like to see more of this style of Doctor Who with her, where she's just going and doing shit, and it's fun.
I think we made some kind of prediction about this season, about it bringing back the camp.
And it did.
Yeah, and I feel good about that.
It helps that you also have a Santarin that is so much like Strax that we thought it was going to be Strax. Yeah, there's just a lot of humor in this.
Have
one.
We talked about how excited we are just because the Santarins are doing the tongue thing?
Yeah. Some people are super excited about the potato aspect as well.
Well, it's good that people can enjoy things.
I think they look too wrinkly. I don't know. Smudgy.
Yeah, I'm
dirty,
not.
Dirty, grimy.
I'm not a fan. Maybe it'll grow on me.
You say that, and I did not really care for Swarm and Azure in the first episode, but I do feel like they grew on me in this episode.
Their design or their performance?
Honestly, both.
Because, man, they're wearing some killer fucking outfits.
Exactly. I think part of it's like they're in a better lit environment. They're not all moody and dark. They're just bright, colorful, and just honestly hamming it up a bit.
Yes.
So that was honestly fun. They don't really do much except go, we're evil.
We're here. But we're evil. We're going to snap you out of existence.
Because the thing controls time and they're breaking it. I don't know.
Do you know what's really interesting is that's been happening a lot when we are watching Classic Who? Is that we'll be watching it and then we'll be like, when did that movie come out? Is this before or after that?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this is 100% like, I feel like if you were watching this in the future, you'd be like, is this before or after Endgame? Is this a reference to Endgame? And it is.
Right, because, like, I feel like Swarm is both feels like Thanos, because, like, he literally does a snap at the end. And, like, they've got the dusting effect. But he also looks like the Red Skull. So it's, like, it's just Marvel.
I mean, things influence other things.
Sure, yeah. There's one plot thread that I didn't like in the first episode because I felt it was so thin. And it's also in this episode and it's super thin again, but I enjoyed it more this time, which is the 1800s guy that's just randomly in the temple. And like one scene and we don't see him ever again.
Okay, but in that one scene, he gives a magnificent performance.
Right, of being a man who is confused and frightened.
The conversation they have about what year it is. And his response to, like, do you think that's important? Like, there's something about that conversation that is magnificent.
I mean, you get a clear sense that he knows something is up more than Yaz does. Like, he's aware of more. And this problem that he doesn't understand means something bad. Like, that we as an audience don't fully grasp, right? That's the vibe I got from it. He's almost kind of horrified by it. Like, this means something bad is going to happen.
Yes.
And even he doesn't entirely know what it is, but he knows it's going to be bad.
Yeah, the fact that he knows something, and you would expect him not to know anything. And so the fact that he kind of has some grasp on, like, this isn't my year. Oh, no.
Right.
This is fascinating. But yeah, it's, what the fuck is that guy's deal? I don't know. I don't know how long it'll take us to know. Until you said something, I forgot that he was in the first episode.
Oh yeah, he's like the guy that was like digging for something. And there was a guy who was like, you shouldn't be using all that labor or some shit. I don't know. I've kind of forgotten what happened in it too, because it was so slight and unimportant at the time.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on the fact that doing things like this is a good idea. I've got a lot of pieces that I've got to hold on to and remember. And I have ADHD and I'm going to set that shit down the moment I don't feel like holding it anymore.
I am glad it's not going as full tilt as the first episode.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they simplified it a bit for this episode, which is good. And I think it gives the characters room to be characters in a way that they weren't in the first episode. Like, I feel like I have a better handle on everyone now.
Right.
Like Azure and Swarm and Vendor. Like, Vendor doesn't do much, but, like, you get a sense of who he is now, which is love interest for Yaz.
It sure does feel that way.
Yeah, not for it. It's Yaz and the Doctor, right?
Yaz and the Doctor forever.
Though Vendor also gets to be really dumb in another scene where he shoots his gun at Swarm, who immediately teleports out of the way. And he just keeps
shooting it.
And then Azure is like, you should try me. And he does. And she teleports too. And it's like, dude, you'd think after the first couple of times he'd stop. He just keeps doing it.
I would like to say, hands down, the best scene of this episode. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I think I know. Is it the scene where the Doctor meets the head Santarin on the battlefield?
He's like, why here?
And he name drops Lynx from the original Santarin thing and how he tried to take over the Earth. And it was like, they needed to do it because, like, it's been destined that they would take over Earth and stuff. From that very moment, it's been taken away from them, so they're going to reclaim it. And also, he wanted to ride a horse. And it's just dead silent for, like...
There's a whole beat of a reaction from each of them.
Of him just, like, looking wistfully off into the distance. And, like, the Doctor being like, okay. Fine, I guess.
We have some Santarin horse girls now.
Nice.
That's a thing that exists.
The baddie is canon Santarin horse girl. I love it.
Hands down the best scene.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I can't think of a better moment. There's something I want to bring up because Christine talked about it this morning on our Discord. There's an opening scene because, like, they get hit by the flux, right? And they wake up in the past. But before that happens, the Doctor has a dream. It's in black and white, and she's looking up at
the minister's treehouse.
The minister's treehouse, yes. There's this weird floating wooden structure, gigantic looking spooky mansion, just floating in the air and kind of twisted off at random angles. There is a theory that this is connected to Lung Barrow.
Oh, no.
I think it's called,
Yeah.
I think it might be the Doctor's house, which is called, what is it called? The House of something.
Shit. Oh, no.
Are you okay?
And this just feels like it's got the same energy as DCL becoming canon. It feels like that level of, like, chaos.
House of Lung Barrow is what it could be. He's making looms canon, Tony.
Oh, God. No, I literally don't know.
Here's a drawing of it.
That doesn't really look the same.
It's a floating building that goes off in weird angles.
Okay, all I'm saying is I don't know if I could handle the internet discourse if fucking Chibnall makes looms canon. I don't know what that's gonna do.
Here's what
the internet.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Three things.
Okay.
Looms, canon. The Ronnie's going to return. You know what I think he's going to do?
What?
I think the Doctor is going to regenerate.
Into the Valyard.
Into the Valyard.
Shut up. You're stupid.
I think he's going to do it. And he's going to be like, here you go. RTD, you got the Valyard now.
No.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says about everything. I think this character's secretly the Ronnie. I think this character's secretly the Valyard. It's never, that's the theory every time, and it's never true.
Okay, but he's the guy that made the Morbius Doctor's canon? This seems like a strong hint at Lung Barrow. I think he's just gonna just fuck some shit up in his last few episodes. That's my theory.
I literally can't imagine the state of fandom should this come to pass.
I will say, I don't know if she will regenerate into the Valyard. That may be too much, but I think maybe the Valyard will show up. That's my theory.
All right. This feels like a very trollish theory.
Why?
Partially just the face that you're making right now.
What if I'm right?
I don't know.
What if he's been hearing all these people make these theories that never have happened?
And he's
what
like,
if he's just like, fuck it, I want to do it.
That's That's the hardest to predict thing of all.
And then right at the end, Susan shows up.
Stop!
And Glitz.
Can we have new Glitz, please?
So yeah, that's my theory. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
Cool. That's it for us. We'll be back next time for Flux Chapter 3, Once Upon Time.
Oh.
That's Once, comma, Upon Time, because the planet that they're on at the end is called Time.
There's no planet called Time.
Says the Doctor, who knows everything.
In the history of the universe, no one's ever called their planet Time, and everyone knows that.
Guess she's wrong. But until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Shit shoot!
No.
And also, I wanted to ride a horse.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.